We don't know what's happened to her. It's very, very unusual. We've got their mobile and we've got their house number. And we rang them and rang them, rang them all day yesterday. Well, on and off. And we certainly rang them this morning. I rang them while I've been at church. Still no answer. So whether something's happened to them, I even rang a sister-in-law. But see if there's something happened, but I got no answer off her. So they may have been raptured. Well, that puts us in a spot, doesn't it? Because they've been raptured, what happens to us? Anyway, I just felt that this word that I've already, you may have been here when I gave it. I don't know when. I usually put dates, but I haven't put a date on it. But it's just a simple word. And if you've got your Bibles, if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, just a short reading about the dedication of the temple that Solomon had built. And it says in verse 1, Solomon, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the God of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And all the children of Israel saw how fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple. They bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices for the Lord. King Solomon offered the sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. Wow. Took some doing. Yeah, some sacrifice that. Where am I? So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests attended to their services, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, "For his mercy endures forever." Whenever David offered praise by their ministry, the priests sounded the trumpets opposite them while all Israel stood. You know, it was a magnificent temple. It really was. Beautiful building. It took 7.5 years to build. And it was made of precious, precious stone. And everything in the temple had a symbolic reason for it. And I'm not looking at the temple. That in itself is a study on its own when you look at everything in the temple and the significance on it. And it all relates to Jesus. Everything goes back to Jesus. The background of this is that Solomon, the son of King David, began his reign. And immediately although David had prepared everything for the building of the temple, Solomon was the one that took up the challenge and built this magnificent building. And I ask you a question this morning, because although the temple was great, do you know the Church of Jesus Christ and every one of us is the temple of the living God? Every one of us who name the name of Christ, we are a living temple to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should offer that praise to him. But I ask you the question, what is required of us to experience and to know a move of God? Think about it. What is required of us? I believe that the move of God, any sovereign move of God, does not happen automatically. It is in the sovereignty of God. But there are certain things that have to be in place for the fire of God to come and to consume the sacrifice. I'm not saying that it consumes us and we all pass through. Who knows? It could well be the rapture. When the church reaches that pinnacle of worship, adoration, and preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it will happen and we will be taken into the presence of the Lord. That's if you believe in the rapture. I trust you, we do. But the question is, what is required of us to experience the move of God? Do you know there are many, many thousands of churches that are worshiping in the Lord in formalities? What does not bring the move of the Spirit, although it brings an element of the blessing of God, is the man's planning and man's program. Not just good preaching either. Not good leadership brings about it. Not the church doing the best they can for the kingdom of God, although we should do, brings an element of the blessing of God. I've got a quote here that, if I can find it. You see, I'm well prepared this morning. I got a quote and I typed it out a while ago, and it says, when ministry becomes performance, then the sanctuary becomes a theatre. The congregation becomes an audience. Worship becomes entertainment. A man's applause and approval becomes the measure of success. But when ministry is for the glory of God, his presence moves into the sanctuary. Even the unsaved visitor will fall down on his face, worship God, and confess that God is in the midst of us. That is what I really want with all my heart. You can plan, you can do things, and many churches are doing things. And I've been to them, and you receive an element of blessing. But there is an ache within the heart of me, and I trust in you, that we not only want more of God, but we want everything of God. Everything that God has got to do. We've just had a 24-hour prayer. Yeah, it is difficult sometimes to set aside the power. But I want to tell you this morning, if you really want the blessing of God, then listen to me this morning, because I've got some key elements how the presence of God can come. See, Solomon built this temple 7.5 years it took him. Magnificent as it was, it was filled with the glory of God when it was completed, not before. If you want the blessing of God in your life, you want more of God in your life, you've got to come to a place in your walk with God where you desire him above everything else, and nothing else will satisfy you. That's the cry, and should be the cry of every church. Yes, you can have the programs. Yes, you can have the good preaching. Yes, you can have everything fantastic. But unless God's presence is there, it's nothing. It's empty. Yeah, you will have a measure of the blessing of God. But to see a real move of God, call it revival if you want, call it what you want. And when you look at the history of revivals, you understand that there was a pattern in them. And the pattern is what I want to share with you this morning. He finished it. In verse 1 it says, so the temple was finally finished. Finally finished. If you want the blessing of God, you get to that place with God. Not only God will ever be finished with you, but you will be in that place ready for the fire of God and the blessing of God. So the first thing I want to say to this morning, first and foremost in your life above everything, build a place for God. Build a place for God. The purpose of the temple was for worship. And you have been created for God to worship God. And if your worship is just platinum and just on one level. Then get before God and ask him with all your heart and soul for the endowment of the power of God to stir your heart to worship God and to really worship him with all your heart and soul. There are times in your life that God will break into your life in such a way that will elevate you from where you are to where he wants you to be. But you've got to be prepared to build that place for him. You've got to. No good expecting just God to bless, God to do, because what? You've really got to get before him and seek him and say, Lord, above everything else, it's you I want. It's you I need. And so on, the first thing, build a place for God. Put Jesus Christ first in everything and over everything, no matter what. God will move when he knows that we are ready, and he knows when we are ready. He will really move by his Holy Spirit when we are ready. So the temple was finally finished. I know there's things in my life, in your life, that God's still got to work with us. But I think, you know, every day of our lives, we should really have that place for him, building that place for him, where he takes prime place over everything. Everything. No matter what. When you get up in the morning and you just pray, you read the word and you pray and you say, Lord, I give this day to you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in ways that you've never done before. Take over my life. Take over. He won't force himself upon you. He won't force his way in. But the Bible says, don't even do it. We use our phrase in Revelation, build our stand at the door and knock. And sometimes the Lord's knocking at our heart and saying, come on, give me more room. I want more room in your life. I want to bless you. I want to pour out my Holy Spirit in such a measure you've never experienced. But open that door. Open that place in your heart and in your life that's close to him at the moment. And you know that the areas of your life that you need the Lord Jesus Christ to move powerfully. Second thing is, of course, you know, make him everything over everything. He's got to be fine, prime place if you really want to see the power of God, the blessing of God in such a measure. It's to keep on going no matter what's against you. Keep on going no matter what the challenges are before you. Keep that place, building that place for him, no matter what. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. The enemy's not going to give up easy. It's not going to let you say, you know, it's going to be an easy ride. It's not an easy ride because of our flesh, because of our adult nature. We still have it there. But it depends on, somebody once said, it depends on who you give allegiance to who rules your life. Whether you give in to sin or whether you stand your firm ground on and say, Lord, this bondage, this that holds me, whatever it is, Lord, I give it to you. I want you more, Lord, in my life. I want you to be prominent. I want you to be the one that rules my heart and life in every way. Determines what I do, where I go, everything. I know once, when I was a young Christian, I in some way measure, I was very keen, but in some ways I was very foolish. And I never used to do anything until I felt that the Lord wanted me to do it. Now, don't get me wrong on that we should do that. But everything, even down to food. And I got in such a bondage with it. And I had to, you know, really seek the Lord about it and say, Lord, take this away. My heart, my life is yours, Lord. But help me to understand what you want from me, what you need, Lord, what you want, because, Lord, you're Lord of my life. But sometimes, Lord, the old nature creeps in and gets in. Help me to come back and help me to stand for you. There's many scriptures in the New Testament which speaks about living the life that we should live for him in the Spirit. That phrase, we are to live by faith, not by any other means. We're to walk by faith. We're to live by faith. We've got to take that in the contents and realize that it's the faith of Jesus that Jesus Christ gives to us. It really is a walk of faith in our Christian life. Every step, every day, taking in faith, believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. Lord, you're ruling in my life. You're not going to take me down a cul-de-sac. You're not going to take me to any dead end. You are just going to move mountains before me. You're going to break into new areas in my life, Lord. And that is what the Lord wants for us as a church. He wants to break into our lives so that we are building that place for him to inhabit so that he'll come and dwell among us. Also, it's important, I don't need to say this, but I need to, even prayer, praying, Bible study, fellowship, and everything that we do as Christians have got to take on the place where it's done for the right reason. That we study the Word of God, we study the read the Bible, we don't read it in a sense just for the sake of reading it. We've done our daily Bible reading. But rather we do it to get food, to be nourished, to receive from him more and more when we pray, that we pray earnestly with all of our hearts. And sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult. I found it difficult on Friday night. I don't know. It was really hard, but I pursued it. I could have gone home and said, oh, I've had enough, Lord, I've had enough. But I pursued it, and I've learned in my life to keep focus on him and say, Lord, I'm here for you. I want you to bless me. It's going to cost. But Lord, I'm prepared to pay the cost. And you battle through and you get through. And sometimes when you get up in the morning, you don't feel like praying. I don't know why, but you don't feel like reading your Bible. Do it. It's a sacrifice. And everything in our lives for building a place for Jesus Christ more in our life, we give a sacrifice to him. Solomon gave such a fantastic sacrifice, didn't he? I mean, it wouldn't do me to be in the temple with all that slaughter. It must have took him ages. But it cost. And if you're not prepared to stand and do that, we in no way, shape, or form can expect to see a move of the Spirit in our lives. Second thing, not only build a place for the Lord, but put in place what is needed. Not only build a place, allow him, but also to place what is needed in the temple. What is needed for us in our life is full commitment, is full surrender, is a whole life given to him in every way. So whatever the Holy Spirit is dealing with you in your life, give it over to him. Give it up. Don't fight against the purposes of God and the moving of the Spirit. Somebody said this, the measure of blessing is determined by the measure of commitment. And if you're not committed this morning, totally, to see God move amongst us in a mighty way, you're in the wrong place. Because it's the measure of the blessing is determined by the measure of your commitment. And we must bow the knee to him. So the measure you give is the measure you receive. And so many Christians live a life that they give very little to God and they get very little back. And they wonder why God's not blessing them. You cannot expect the blessing of God, the power of God in your life, If you've not yet come to that place of that complete and utter surrender to him and bow the knee to him, it'll really be hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but I tell you what, it's well worth it when you see the presence and the power of God among us. A full commitment, full surrender, the whole life, lock, stock and barrel. So first thing is build a place for God. Second thing, put in place what is needed. And thirdly, I've already touched on it, but be willing to pay the cost. It's going to cost. Going to cost you nights when you'll be here with no sleep. It's going to be nights, it's going to be times when God will ask you for something and it will cost you to give it. The blessing of God is not cheap. Although God has saved us and we are his, and he wants to bless us, don't assume that everything, and Nick ran Ephesians chapter 1, and in him we have all things. Don't expect him to give you all things if you're not prepared to give him back, and it costs you nothing. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly pleasing to God, who is your spiritual worship. See, when you look at the temple, one thing is abundantly clear. It was done with the best work, the best material, and everything was, we know that it was gold, and it was costly. So what about your life and my life? What is it costing you to see God really bless our work here? Our lives need to be holy, really to be holy, right living. Yes, we do the best we can for the kingdom of God, but if we live in another life and we're doing things that are dishonouring God and displeasing to him, you can't expect God to bless you in the way that he wants to bless you. You will receive a measure of blessing, but the measure you give is the measure you receive. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man. Colossians chapter 3:23. And Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, whatever you your hands find to do, do it with all your might. You need to be living the holy life. A righteous life. So it wasn't until the temple was completed did God's glory fill the temple. It costs. It was a sacrifice that was given before the fire fell. Solomon did, the fire didn't fall, and then the sacrifice. The sacrifice was offered, and then the fire fell. He offered 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. It cost. I don't know what the cost would have been in monetary terms, but it doesn't matter. Every penny is his anyway. Everything that we earn is his. And he only asks for 10%. I tell you, I've heard testimonies of people that have given 50%. I'm not advocating tithing, that, but I know somebody who gave 50% and God has blessed them abundantly. You cannot ever outgive God. You cannot. The more you give, the more you get. That's the biblical principle of the kingdom of God. You have to give. It's not that we're earning our salvation or paying for our salvation. It means that our hearts are ready for the fire of God to fall. And Solomon paid the cost, and the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. There's a person in the Bible that his name is Demas. He was a fellow worker of Paul's, with Paul and Luke. And in Colossians 4, verse 14, he says, "Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas," and he goes on to say, "sends greetings." And he refers to them again, and he says, "Demas and Luke, my fellow workers," this is the great apostle Paul. But then, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, it says this: "For Demas, because he loved the world, has departed from me and has gone to Thessalonica." See, Demas was not willing to pay the full cost to experience the move of God. I trust none of us are like that. Because you can come to in a stage of your life where the Lord will keep on asking, keep on saying, "Give me all, give me all." And you keep on refusing. And you dry up. And you shrivel up. And you get nothing in the end. And you say, "Oh, what's the use?" And depart. See, the fire of God will consume. And when the fire of God comes upon us and that the Holy Spirit power enables us and blesses us, is the term, we will be changed. And we've become a church so on fire for God that, like Uzzah Street of old, the fire was set upon the building and people said in the night, they could see flames of fire over the building. Oh God, let that happen in Hills Green. Let the fire of God so come that the flames are seen in outside, and people will know that God lives here and God dwells here. And as I said, people will come flocking. People will come running without a word of any invitation or any message of salvation. They'll come and fall before the throne and accept Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that everything happens like this all the time. I'm just saying that when the power of God moves and when God really blesses and pours out his Holy Spirit, things do happen. Happen, and it must. There has to come a change in our life. There has to come a change in every area of our church life. There has to become something so that the fire of God can burn within us. And so God continually blesses. It hurts me when you read about revival, how they fizzle out. I believe the end time revival that this world is going to experience is never going to fizzle out. And I believe we're already in it. We see tips of it there. But when the blaze comes, it will come and it will burn. And wow. So, have you prepared a place for him? Have you put in place those things that are necessary in your life? And are you willing to pay the cost? Because if you're not, this message has gone in deaf ears. I trust it isn't. So this is what we really need, folks, this morning, is a real hunger for him. A real desire to know him. Like Paul said, to know him, the power of his resurrection, to be conformed to his likeness, to be changed in every area of our lives so we become more like him. I need that in my life more. I need changes in my life. My hands go up. I'm not perfect. I may joke with Sandra and say that she's married a perfect man, but I'm not perfect. But one thing is certain. My heart is for more and more of God. And I want to declare to you this morning, publicly, that I'm prepared to pay the cost, whatever it is. Because my heart desire is to see the presence of God so manifested in among us that will transform us and we'll see people come to know him. And it starts with you. It starts with me. Don't think it's going to start and then you get involved in it. My friend, you will not feel a place of it. You will not feel a part of it. You need to really sort yourself out with God. Build a place for God. Put in place what is needed. Be willing to pay the cost. And then finally, just briefly, be prepared for the result. Oh, what's the result going to be? I don't know. I really don't know what God wants to do among us. But one thing is abundantly clear, it's going to be beautiful and lovely. It really is. I've done away with it years ago, with formalities, with traditional ways. Yes, I think God can use that, but we've got so many churches just say that's it. And they call shop and they won't let the Holy Spirit take them any further. But I don't us as a church ever to get into a place where we get back into formalities that the Holy Spirit cannot move among us. Be prepared for the result. You're going to see all sorts of things happen. Miracles take place, signs and wonders. Everything that the Church of Jesus Christ should be experiencing. We are the salt and the light of the world. And if we're not blazing with the glory of God, the world's never going to know. We are the answer, aren't we? We are the answer to the Lord. We know the Lord's the answer, but we as a church, together, corporately together, is the answer to those out there. They need to come and see that Christ is the answer and is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other alternative. And so, Father, I just thank you for the short word this morning. I pray that, Lord, you minister to us more and more in our lives. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and have your rightful place here. We want to see a move of your Spirit, Lord, that we've never seen before and we've never experienced. It's going to be different. It may be a bit messy because you are no respecter of person. You'll send everybody along who needs you. But help us, Lord, I pray, to keep the fire of God burning upon our altar of our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that if any of us are lukewarm in any area of our life, in our commitment to you, in the unprepared to pay the full cost, help us, Lord, I pray. Challenge us. Help us to realize that it will cost. And help us, Lord, to be willing to pay that cost, so that the glory of God will come, like it did in the temple when the sacrifices were offered. The fire came and the glory filled the house. Oh God, fill this house. Fill this house, which is just not a building, but all of our hearts, with your glory, so that Jesus Christ is glorified in us and through us and among us. In Jesus' name. Amen.